You're listening to RNAB Connect Radio, and I guess lots of excitement happening today at the Accessible Gaming Symposium in Dundee. And joining me now is James Kyle, who was just on one of the panels at the symposium. So I quickly grabbed you during the break. How are you feeling?
Oh, great, great. Yeah, I'm loving the event. It's great to be back in Dundee as well. You know, it's a city of Dundee.
Yeah.
It's a city I'm quite fond of. I was a student up here at Abertay actually for a year doing the master's degree in game development. So it's lovely to be back.
Oh, that's amazing. So how do you think it's going so far? Because the panel just happened. There was lots of questions. It seemed quite quick. How did you feel it went?
Oh, I mean, it's always nerve-wracking when you're on a panel like that in front of, you know, people who, you know, many of them are there to learn more about accessibility from the panel. A lot of people in the audience are experts on accessibility. So, you know, it's two different types of stress on you. But no, I feel like it went really well. Ben's a great host, and, you know, he's been doing fantastic work in the field of accessibility for a number of years. And, you know, the other panelists did great as well, you know.
Do you feel there's a pressure? I think you said pressure from both sides. So one's obviously to represent the VA community well and the VA gamers and make sure the gaming community and developers know what the needs are, but also, you know, to make sure your needs and everything in regards to accessibility is actually listened or heard in this case, and you get those changes in the future to the gaming industry, because we do want accessibility everywhere, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we do. And it's important for people to talk about it when they get the opportunity. I always feel that pressure when, you know, I'm in a situation like this to do as good a job as I can to make sure that I'm saying, well, basically that I'm saying the right things to developers. But as well as that, there's also, you know, there's always the knowledge in the back of my mind that, you know, as much as I can speak for, you know, people with maybe similar sight conditions to me, the range of sight conditions is so broad. And there's such a spectrum to vision impairments and sight loss, you know, and it's impossible for me to speak for everyone, even people who have the same condition as I do. You know, their experiences may be very different. And then, of course, if you take into consideration the levels of experience that they may have with playing games and with technology, you know, it's a difficult subject to tackle, for sure, you know, but I do my best. We all do our best to try and, you know, work with developers and to make the voice of blind and partially sighted gamers heard, and really to make sure that the industry and games in the future are more accessible to blind and partially sighted players and players with, frankly, you know, all sorts of disabilities as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing, by having these symposiums, having these conversations, bringing in visually impaired gamers with different levels of sight loss, it means you're getting the dialogue open, and you're also making sure features are adaptable and customizable as possible, because that's what you want to do. You want to adjust the game to your level of sight or lack of sight or whatever needs you really have, because you might not want to have, you know, just audio cues. You might be okay with higher contrasts and bigger subtitles, and things like that might actually help you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I think games developers are starting to recognize. You know, it's features like these, you know, it's not just people with vision impairments that benefit from them. You know, it's going off the vision impairment track a little bit, but, you know, you look at the statistics for the number of people that use subtitles in games, the number of people, the percentage of people who would enable subtitles or use subtitles if they were left on by default is much higher than the number of people playing games who have hearing impairments. And the same would probably be true for, you know, accessibility features implemented to assist blind and partially sighted players as well. You know, accessibility features normally, you know, assist players outside of their intended audience, and that's, you know, a benefit to the game. That's a benefit to the developers. It just makes their games better overall.
Yeah, and it makes it open to a wider audience, which at the end of the day, that's what they want to do. They want as many people playing their games as possible.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's, I don't want to talk about, you know, get into the vulgar business of profit and money, you know, but they are businesses, you know, and, you know, I wouldn't want to say that accessibility features will make your games, you know, sell millions, but, you know, it does increase your audience. It enables somebody like myself, to confidently buy a game. If I know it's going to be accessible to me, then I can spend my money with confidence and enjoy the game. And, you know, perhaps, you know, I'll buy the sequels or I'll buy games by that, you know, by that developer in the future.
And you can also join the community of fans, because it means you don't feel excluded.
Of course, yeah, because it's so much more than just a business transaction. It's a massive cultural, you know, platform. It's a massive cultural format. And, you know, it's important for blind and partially sighted people to be part of that in the same way that, you know, like books and films and other, you know, forms of media have been, you know, made more and more accessible over the, you know, over the past decades. So things like, you know, talking books, audiobooks, what's the one for TV and film? Audio description. That's the word. that's the phrase I'm looking for. You know, and obviously, like, games, they're interactive, they're non-linear. There's such a variety to them. They're far more complex than these other forms of media. But it's important to not shy away from the challenge, you know, so that blind and partially sighted people can get involved with that and have the same sort of gaming lifestyle and be part of the culture in the same way that their sighted friends and family are.
Well, that was beautifully said, and I really hope that means for the future of the gaming industry that we will see this wider inclusion in society and more VA gamers. But in the meantime, it has been lovely speaking with you on RNAB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.